All right, let's pray. Pastor Don's going to be bringing forth the word today, and hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for Pastor Don, Lord God, who I know loves your word, Lord, who is a student of your word, Lord. And we pray that you would anoint him as he brings forth that word today, Lord God, that you would speak through him, Lord God, that you would anoint him by your Holy Spirit and anoint our hearts even to receive. So bless this word. Bless this church, Lord God, and every single person here, Lord God, let them be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.
You know, Pastor John, talk about Santa Claus. Roger, do you know what nationality Santa Claus is? Yeah, he comes from North Polish. Pretty bad. About as big... That is Pastor John years ago, you know, he got a revelation about Christmas. You know, we all see the nativity scenes, don't we? Pastor John happened to be down south, and he walked into a small town. They had a nativity scene out there, and all the wise men and Mary and Joe, you know, all the wise men that were out there, they had fire helmets on. Pastor John, being an ex-fireman himself, kind of scratched his head, and, you know, he knows a lot, but he didn't know why these wise men had fire helmets on, so... He walked into the general store there, and he says, excuse me. He says, you know, I'm new to the area here, and you know, I noticed in your nativity scene, they all had fire helmets on, the wise men. And the lady says, well, don't you know how to read the Bible? It's in the Bible. Pastor John, once again, kind of scratched his head. He says, ma'am, he says, I'm a pastor, and I've read the Bible many times, but I don't ever recall reading it. And she kind of got distraught with Pastor John. He says, you northern people don't know nothing. I'm going to show you. It's in the Bible. So Pastor John, being the man of the word, kind of was going through his head, a little bit embarrassed that he didn't know that the wise men, you know, why these fire helmets were on the wise men. So lady pulled out of the Bible, and she flicked through it, and she showed us. She says, right here. It says, the wise men came from afar. That's pretty bad, I know. But I... I know, yeah, I'm going to hire you. Hey, I'm doing better than the guy we had last week. Amen? Can I get a round of applause on that? Yeah. I told that guy, I said, a friend of mine, he has a statement he always uses. I don't know, you probably remember Milton Resch, and he always would say, he says, you know, there's no business like show business. And that guy had no business in show business. Amen. Sometimes things just flop, and I could kind of feel right there how he felt a whole lot. You don't have to tell him that stupid joke. You know, it's funny, though, and the reason I use that kind of introduction is that, you know, during the Advent season, you know, it's a time of preparation. That's what the word actually means. It means the coming, the arrival of. And we hear a lot about the first coming, and this is a time, you know, from the first part of December to Christmas, we hear this Advent. Many of us that were raised in the Catholic Church, that was the Advent season. We had the Advent wreath, and we lit the candles and all that, which was kind of a nice object lesson. And but it's a time of preparation as to what happened. And so in the church, over the years, they used it. There was a time of fasting that would occur, but there was also a time of celebration. Each one of the days had a certain scripture that was associated with it. So it's an exciting time, isn't it? You know, and that's why next week, as Bob had to say, we want to be here in church. We want to come together because that's what it's all about. I could care less about all the gifts. I could care less about all those different things. It's about coming here. But when we go into the Advent season, it's amazing how many traditions we have that are actually wrong. Do you know that? You know, we talked about the wise men. Said there's three wise men. We see that. We had our Bible release class on Tuesday. And one of the things I gave out to the kids, besides all the Bibles that Pastor John had bought and all the CDs, I mean, he came in there. He was like, he was part of the Gideons, you know. He had so many Bibles we're handing out. But I gave a test out, and I gave it out on Thursday, and it was a test on the Advent season and the story of Jesus being born. And a lot of the traditions that we have were actually incorrect. For example, how many kings came to visit Jesus when he was born? Esther, do you know? No, she don't know. They weren't kings. They were wise men. So we sing the song, you know, we three kings from Orient to our bearing gifts. You know, and then how about the manger scene? You know what a manger is? Donovan, you're the You're the dictionary around here. What does the word manger mean in Greek besides manger? It's the trough, right? It's not the stable, but so many times in our minds. So, you know, as we think about this, how many different things. We've talked about this before, that as men and women of Christ, we want to make sure that we're accurate, don't we? Because we could make the scripture say anything. I mean, we could insert a question in, you know, the whole nativity scene like this. You know, there were three wise men that came to visit Jesus, but there was actually a fourth. Did you know that? We had Belshazzar and two others, but who was the one that did all the questioning about where Jesus was going to be born? Wise man Andrasak. You never heard that one, did you? I can picture Roger being there. But see, we can impart and put into the scriptures anything we want, and it will take on life of its own, just like a lot of these different traditions. And so we, as men and women of God, we definitely want to be accurate when it comes to interpreting the Word of God. Amen? So as we go into this Advent season, you know, I was thinking a little bit how it's important sometimes we not put things in, but we pull things out because we can learn some very valuable lessons. And there's a man in the Scriptures today we're going to look at. We're going to draw some things out of the little story. Now, this man is actually mentioned after the birth of Christ, but being part of the, you know, the Advent season, he plays a part in the story because Jesus is still a young man at the time. So if you would, turn over to Luke chapter 2. And many of you may know who this, may have read about him. He's just given a short portion in Scripture. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. And we're going to read probably about 12 different sentences here. So read with me. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, being Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. Verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts where the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many's hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now, I like this story because I always ask myself, why do we meet these characters in the Scripture? Why is somebody mentioned here, and why is somebody not mentioned? And we just might get a short story. You know, we read about Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night. We read about different people in the book of Acts, Zacchaeus, who all these guys that maybe just have a paragraph or a sentence written about them. But how incredible is just to be mentioned in God's Word? Amen? You know, if you live back in that time, wouldn't you still be honored that 2,000 years later in the future, people were still reading about you and still amazed. But we kind of skip over him, don't we? We know about the wise men coming. We know what Herod did, and we know kind of what happened. You know, Bethlehem has a whole story there, the flight to Egypt. But immediately after the birth of Christ, it was the custom of the Jews to bring that young male to Jerusalem to be circumcised. That was part of the law. As it said there, that the first one to open the womb was to be consecrated before the Lord. In other words, what that meant was to be devoted to the Lord's use. I like that. You know, we should all be devoted to the Lord's use. It doesn't matter if you're firstborn or lastborn. Amen? We all should have that idea. We're devoted to His use. And the question becomes, what are we devoted for? We talked a little bit about this week about, you know, many Christians, they don't know what their purpose in life is. Why did God create them? Well, we give a kind of a general idea. Well, He's created me for His glory. Well, that's great. But what else? What has He gifted you with? What has He given you with? And so we come upon this man here, Simeon. We don't know what kind of work this guy did. We don't know if he was a carpenter like Joseph. We don't know if he was a scribe or a Pharisee. If he was a beggar. We have no background information on him whatsoever, do we? And so I always kind of like to think, I go, what is this guy doing there? Who was he? Why is he popping into the story? Well, I want to draw some things out of this little passage today that we should emulate in our lives, not just during the Christmas season, but during the entire year. Amen? And this man's life, and though it's just briefly mentioned in what he did, could you imagine that his whole life was culminated in this one small event? And as the background of the story is, here he's in the temple. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he beheld with his own eyes the Savior, the Messiah of Israel. Now, I don't know if anybody else had received that same revelation at that time, but why would God choose this particular man? You think he was holier than everybody else? Was he always hanging out at the temple? We're not told these things. We're told a little bit about him, but it was revealed to him. And so there's great things that we can take out of his life and what he was known for. And so the first thing I want to tell you is that he was a man who heard the word of God. You know, his name, Simeon, it means he who hears, or the man who hears and is ready to act. Isn't that good? I like that. You know, we as men and women of Christ, should we not have our ears attuned to what God is saying in this hour and at this time? Amen? So many times we cry out, we want to hear God, but yet we neglect the study of His Word. We neglect the fellowship of the brothers and sisters. I don't know about you, but God has spoken to me a lot of times about people, even people that, not even Christians. They would say something, all something will resonate in my heart. And here we have this man, Simeon, whose very name indicates his character. We've talked about this numerous times, haven't we, in the Scriptures, that somebody's name was very important. It was to bring a blessing. Oh, the name of Jesus, the name that was given to him, means what? Savior. Did he live up to that name? Yeah. The apostle Saul, or Paul, his name was Saul and was changed to Paul. Saul means large, Paul means small. What kind of transition took place? Or Peter. I mean, everybody's name had a change, and there was a prophetic significance behind the name. And so with Simeon here, we see there's a prophetic significance behind this name. And it was that he was a man who heard. And the word in the Greek, I know Donovan's probably looking it up right now, actually means to listen with a ready response to act. You see, we can listen, can't we? And then it just goes in one ear and out the other ear. We're told about the sower and the seed. Some of that seed fell upon what? The path. And we know it says Satan came immediately, and the other seed fell. Someone, the birds came and plucked it up, and other seed fell upon the rocky soil. It grew up, and then it died out, and then some seed fell upon good soil, and it grew up and produced a crop. And we're constantly told in the Scriptures what? To hear. To have ears that hear. And during this holiday season, during this Advent season, should we have ears to hear as to what God is speaking to us? Because you never know who God's going to bring your way. I told this story. You know what? My wife and I, back in October, we went on our 35th wedding anniversary. We went to Hawaii. And my wife, before we went, she made me pledge to her that I wouldn't speak to anybody. You know, sometimes you got to break your pledge. And I can, you know, you can always use, well, you know, God told me to do it. Because if you remember the first time I went, we ran into a young girl. I'm in the coffee shop, and I'm getting a coffee, and you know, and the young girl in front of me, I see her kind of shaking, and I go, "Excuse me, ma'am, are you okay?" And she goes, "Yeah, I'm okay." And she turned around, and I said, "Are you sure?" And all of a sudden, she just broke down crying. Come to find out, she was a Christian, she was a teacher, she was going to China, she knew nobody, it was a layover, and she was just overwhelmed with just loneliness and that God didn't care. And who does God send in there? Me. Okay? I'm, you know, and I had promised my wife that time, okay, I won't talk to anybody. So, this second time that we're going on this trip, she's telling me, "Now, you know you promised me, I just want you talking to me." "Okay, honey, okay, I'll do that. Just talk to you. I won't talk to anybody else." So I go down. I get my coffee. "No, don't talk to anybody." I come out. I go, "Wow, this is pretty good. It's going to work." So I go back down to where we're sitting, waiting in, to get on the plane. And my wife says, I got to go up. I got to go down to the store. And I got to get something. You stay here and watch the luggage." I said, "Okay, I'll do that." And so there's a guy sitting across from me. And I'm just sitting there sipping my coffee. And my wife's not around. I go, "Well, maybe that rule only applies when she's around to me, because, you know, I speak to her." And this guy's got a highlighter, and he's highlighting this big book. And I'm watching him for a couple minutes, and next thing I know, I just feel this urge, like, I got to say something to him. You know, it's like bubbling up. I can't keep my mouth shut, you know. Like a guy on the honeymooners. I got a big mouth, you know. "Ellis, I got a big mouth." And so I says, "You know, excuse me, I've just been watching for a few minutes." I go, "You are the neatest highlighter I've ever seen." I mean, this guy was like very meticulous, just real slow. I goes, "What is so important in that book?" And he said he was on vacation. He was going to Hawaii, and he was a minister. And he was going to this island. He knew Hebrew, and he knew Greek. And he was going to be teaching her. So we start talking, and my wife came back, and she gave me that look. You know what I'm talking about? Like Medusa could turn you to stone in an instant. You know, I'm trying not to make eye contact. Even now, I'm getting that look. But it tells you the importance of hearing when God wants to speak. And so we were able to talk. And even during the entire trip, the people that we came across, a pastor out there, a guy that we're out on the golf course. So it's amazing. Are we going to be like Simeon, who's going to be a man or a woman who hears what God says and then is ready to act? Amen? Another thing about Simeon here, if we look at, besides his name, let's look at the story. Verse 25, it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout." How would you like to have that written in God's word about you? Amen? You know? Ray Silva was righteous and devout. For all 2,000 years later, as I said, we're still talking about this guy, Simeon. And so as I'm thinking about him, I'm thinking, what made him righteous? What made him devout? We know that his entire nature was somebody who wanted to hear the God and act upon it, right? But it spoke to me that we are made righteous how? Through faith. So we need to be a people of faith. When we believe, when we trust God, great things begin to happen, right? You know, we look all throughout the book of Acts, and there are times that one of my favorite stories, they're praying for Peter. Peter's in jail. The church is called to prayer. They're really not even praying in faith, but what happened? God freed Peter. Next thing you know, they're getting a knock at the door, and the little guy's at the door. He goes, "Hey, Peter's at the door." And they don't believe him. And they go, "No, hey, you know, maybe, you know." So he kept persisting. They thought maybe it was a ghost. So finally, one of the elders of the church, Bob Cassidy, walked over there, you know, being a man of faith, opened the door, and it was Peter, and they brought him in, and it was a great miracle that God had done. And we could go over and over and telling stories about being a man of faith. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by God's word. And during this Advent season, shouldn't we be a people that really are preparing and anticipating what is coming, this day of Christmas, like Bob said? You know, it amazes, or Donovan had mentioned it too, that, you know, there's people actually promoting not to go to church. I thank God for that, because you know what it's going to do? I know human nature. They're going to go to church. They don't want people telling them, "Hey, don't go to church." It has the opposite effect. You know, see, I'm a pastor, and Pastor John will tell you, so if we want somebody to do a certain thing, we tell them the opposite. Because they always do the opposite anyway, so you got to use, like, reverse psychology on them, and always works. Tell me not to talk. That really meant to talk. So we see that he was righteous and devout. We know throughout the scriptures that we're all human beings, right? We all have that sin. We're all born into sin. But yet, when we by faith come to Christ, it's not because of our own righteousness. It's by what? His righteousness. It's imparted. It's imputed to us. And as people of God, we ought to be joyful during this time and say, hey, thank God it's not by my righteousness. Because I'd have been kicked to the side of the road a long time ago. But it's because of what he's done for us. And Simeon, though Christ had not died and was resurrected from the dead, he was a faithful Jew. Probably went up to the temple, probably observed all the different things. And we can tell just by him being in the temple at the right time that this was the pattern in his life. And when he tells us he was devout, there was a pattern in his life. Let me ask you this. Do you have a pattern in your life that you follow that draws you closer to God? Or is it kind of like that shotgun blast? You don't know where it's going, but it's going to go somewhere and hit something, you hope. No, we ought to be a people of discipline, and there should be a pattern that we follow. That's why I love coming out to the morning classes on Sunday. That's the pattern I've gotten into, because I wanted to be instructed. I want to hear these other men and women teach about the Word of God. I sit there and I rejoice, and I go, these are devout men and women who have taken the time. And so we see that Simeon here, he was a man of faith, and he was a man of works. Always right. You know, we read in Hebrews chapter 11, don't we, about the great cloud of witnesses? And though it can't include everybody, you think maybe his name was in there? You think that maybe when he got there, they welcomed him into heaven itself and said, here's a man that was righteous and devout. That's a good title to have. Have that on your tombstone. Righteous, a righteous man and devout man or woman. Amen. We see also here, let's look at verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was a man of expectation. And we said during the Advent season, the first Advent was a time of expectation. You know, the Jews at that time, we talk about this in our Thursday Bible study, there was a sense of expectation and excitement that the Messiah was soon to be born. And you know how they knew that? It wasn't because they all received an angelic visitation. It wasn't because that, you know, they saw the wise men and they put two and two together. It was because they knew from their scripture, in the book of Daniel, that there was a time period. And it was prophesied from the time that Jerusalem and the temple was going to be rebuilt, there would be 483 years. The Messiah came. And so they knew the general time, and there was great anticipation. That's why even when the Magi came, and it said the whole city was astir, they knew something was up. These questions were being asked. Where's he who is going to be born king of the Jews? And so they were looking for the Messiah. They were anticipating it. They were preparing. Many of them were. And this man Simeon was probably one of them every day going to the temple. And could you imagine God giving you that a promise like that? You're not going to die until you see the long-awaited Messiah. I don't know about you, but you know this guy probably hung out and lived up at that temple. Walking through there, you know, is this the one? Is that the one? Is this the one? How many days do you think he got up and he went up to that temple? And maybe after a period of time, he got discouraged. You ever get discouraged waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled? Well, he knew he was still alive, so he wasn't discouraged about that. But he could have been old. We don't know. It could have been hard for him to get up that hill. You know, Jerusalem is about almost a mile high in elevation. And maybe he didn't live in Jerusalem, and he made the trek every day, and he had to walk up that hill. And then he had to go up all those stairs up to the Temple Mount. And then he had to walk to a certain area. But he did it faithfully knowing, God, one of these days, I'm going to see the long-awaited, the prophesied, the promised Messiah. And so we see Simeon every day anticipating it. And waiting for that. And he has a sense of expectation. You know, that was kind of the hope of the early church. They had this anticipation that they would see Christ and his kingdom coming. You know, Donovan, in his class today was talking about when he first became a principal at New Boston Huron. Now, I used to follow football all the time because I coached high school football. And New Boston Huron, I don't want to say this that they were bad, so I won't say that, but they were horrible. Okay? And Donovan even tells the story. They went years. I think they were attacking the record in the state for most games lost in a row. I think Lincoln Park now holds that officially. So anybody live in Lincoln Park here, you need to pray for your city. But they've done much better. So that was a few years ago. But he talked about, and we talked about, changing the mindset. That you got to have an expectancy that God is going to do something. Here we see Simeon, his name tells us that he was a hearer of the word, ready to act. Then we're told that he was a man of faith. And now we're told accompanying that faith was what? An expectation. You know, that's why I love telling stories about coaching, because when I went down there to Southwest and, you know, I don't want to say they had no equipment, but it was bad equipment, you know. I mean, it was stuff that was like 10, 15 years old. Bats and old balls and gloves. The uniform, ragtag. And I said, the first thing we have to do is we have to change the whole mindset, the whole image of what they can become. Not that you're lousy. And Donovan talked about the coach that they hired there, and the first thing he began to do is change the mindset and install discipline and accountability and all these different things. And we see in Simeon's life here that he was somebody who had a sense of expectation. Why? Because it had been prophesied to him. How many prophetic words have you received in your life? I know in the spring when I saw there, Ed Trout will be in. How many of you received a prophetic word and are still waiting? God, you know, bring this about. You can't bring it to pass by doing anything. We know what happened with Abraham when he tried to bring it about in the flesh. But we need to sit back and say, God, you do it. I remember one time I was praying. I said, God, you know what I need down here? I could really use is a batting cage. Be careful what you pray for. You got to be specific with God because he's got a sense of humor. Okay? And, you know, after a while, you just get tired of these kids chasing balls over the place because it takes your time and does this. So, one day I show up, and lo and behold, there's a batting cage on the side of the field. And it was the batting cage that the boys used to have. They got a brand new one, and so they determined we could have the old one. Well, the only problem with the old one, it was pretty ratty, but I didn't care at that point. I just, you know, I was thanking God for it. That's why I say sometimes you got to pray a little bit more specific. I should have said, Lord, I want a new batting cage. Let them keep that old one, all right? So we need to have that expectation. We see Simeon, verse 26, he was also a man of favor. He had that expectation. He could hear God. He had faith in God. He had expectation that God was going to move on his behalf. And it says he had favor. It was revealed to him. Why did God choose him? I asked that, God, why did you choose me? Well, I never wanted to be a pastor. Pastor John, same thing. Well, you know, that wasn't something we wanted. But when God chooses you for a specific task, guess what? You're going to start walking in it. You know, the Bible says that you're a chosen people, a chosen generation. You didn't choose him. He chose you. We like to say, well, I found God. No, 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 no. He drew you unto himself by his Spirit. It might have been over a long process of time. It might have been one day. But his favor was upon you. I forget who it was, you know. Used to ask somebody, how you doing? They go, I have God's favor. I have God's favor. And isn't that nice to know? Blessed and highly favored. And we look at our lives. Haven't we been blessed? Haven't we been highly favored? I look around at all the people in here, and I could just go story after story after story after story. I was kidding little Taylor there. You know, I don't know if sometimes you see me. I have to turn away when I'm playing the guitar because there was this thing on her hand that kept reflecting the light into my eyes and I couldn't see. And I don't know if she had a mirror on there. Whatever it was big, but she has been highly favored. And that ring on her hand indicated that. Right, Taylor? Yeah, yeah. But it's good to be God's, have his favor. Amen? I'd rather have his favor than his wrath. We see Simeon here was favored because God had chose him specifically to bring forth this particular prophetic word. And that's all we know about it. We don't, you know, could you imagine that? He gives the word, and then if it would have been me, I'd have been walking home and like, I'm going to die now. You know, out of the way, dead man walking. Dead man walking. I did my job. I fulfilled my will, you know. You know, it's like, okay, when's the hammer going to drop? You know, we're not told when he died. He may have went home, died in his sleep. Who knows? You know, but we know that he had fulfilled God's purpose in his life. Then we see verse 27, moved by the Spirit. Isn't that how we should be as people of God? You know, that's the reason the Spirit of God came. What was to move us into different areas of life. And when you know, we joke all the time about, you know, what a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's God's Spirit moving you. And I don't know if Simeon really understood what was going on with him that day. If he was sitting maybe in a corner looking around, wonder if he's going to show up today, or if he just, you know, and the Spirit of God spoke to him, we're not told that, or if he just got up and began to move. And in his natural process, came in contact with Mary and Joseph with the baby. And all of a sudden, boom, he knew who this was. And there's times like that God speaks to us to get up and just go and speak to someone, doesn't he? You know, last week, I know Bob came up to the comedian afterwards and kind of gave him a prophetic word. You know, he came up, he says, you know, he says, you're very smart, blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't know if, you know, others that were at the table, but I'm sitting there, I go, Bob's prophesying to this guy. Trying to give him an encouraging word, especially after he bombed so bad. But we're to be moved by the Spirit of God. He went into the temple court. So the Holy Spirit will always move you to find Jesus and to get closer to him. That's his job, isn't it? What else about Simeon here? Verse 28, it says, "When moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the customs of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms." And I like that. Verse 28 says, he took Jesus in his arms. You know, when the Spirit of God moves upon you, you want to embrace Christ. Amen? And he embraced him, and it wasn't in a full revelation of his manhood and his deity. But we need to embrace Christ how we understand him at that time. Amen? You know, that's why when there's a difference between those who just come to Christ and they don't have a lot of biblical knowledge, but they just know in their heart, I just love them. I want to serve them. And others of us that have been down the line and served them, we should have the same thing. We want to embrace the man. We want to be like Peter coming and falling at his feet and weeping and just grabbing hold of him. Or like the woman that worked her way through the crowd who just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. There's different ways that we're all going to embrace it, but we see Simeon here was a man who was passionate about Jesus. You embrace Christ. Have you embraced Christ even more so during this holiday season? That's why I like these holidays, because they really should make us stop and invoke in us a sense of wonder and awe what our God had done for us. I mean, it's an incredible story. Why would God send his son to die for us? I mean, isn't there another way? You know, you had this whole system set up. Why did he have to come? And then the creator of the entire universe, who could have spoke things into and out of existence, he's the one showing his great love for us. We need to embrace him passionately. And after he embraced him, you know what came upon him? When we embrace Christ, verse 28 says, Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, saying, he began to prophesy. You see, when you look at being a person of faith like Simeon, when you have God's favor, when you're passionate about him, when you embrace him, what happens? You can't help but what? Prophesy. Now we think that's foretelling over somebody. You know what it says in the book of Revelation? It says the telling of Jesus or the foretelling of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you begin to share your faith, when you begin to share with people who Christ is, that is the spirit of prophecy has now come upon you, and you are declaring who the King is and the Lord is and what he's done for you. And I like that. And we can sometimes skip over these simple little words, but we need to say why. We see he begins to prophesy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And he begins to say, unto the parents and over Jesus. When you begin to prophesy, something else begins to happen. His mission was now complete, and he was putting himself in a place to submit to the will of God joyfully. He prophesies over Jesus. He prophesied over the parents. And then he says this, "Dismiss your servant in peace." He was ready to accept the final step on this side of life and moving in. Are you ready to accept wherever God takes you? Can you say that joyfully? "Lord, my eyes have seen the light." Look what how he says it. "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." He surrendered himself to the will of God. You know, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Because we like to think that road is going to be just smooth and every obstacle. No. Most of the time, that road is going to be full of all sorts of obstacles that are going to make you develop, make you grow. But Simeon had come to the end of his ministry, and he now recognized, and joyfully, "My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. You may now dismiss me in peace." When God is done with us in a particular role, can we say, "God, dismiss me in peace"? And then finally, we look at here, verse 33. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Verse 34, then Simeon blessed them. When you're a man of faith, when you have the favor of God, when you have a desire to go after God, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, when you begin to embrace Christ, when you passionately speak about Him, when you submit to His will, the final thing is you become a blessing to other people. And isn't what that the Advent season, the Christmas season is all about? We give presents to our children, we give presents to our coworkers and friends. Why? Because we want to be a blessing to Him. But what's the greatest present that you can give? The gift of life. The introduction to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in this simple man, Simeon, we see an incredible example. His name telling us that he was a man who heard the Word of God but acted upon it. That he was a man who had faith because the Word did something to him and caused him to action. We saw that that action caused a spirit of expectation to come upon him. We saw that he had favor upon his life because God chose him for a specific task. We saw that he embraced Christ. He spoke prophetically. And then finally, he became a blessing to Mary, to Joseph, and Christ himself. And as we look at his life, as we conclude here today, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. Maybe today is one day, "Lord, give me those characteristics. Take me down that same path this man, Simeon, how he lived his life. What an incredible example during this holidays, this Christmas season, that we have this small story about this man, not much is known about, but what we knew about him is he was righteous, he was devout, he was led by the Spirit. He embraced Christ." All these different things that should be manifest in our lives during this time. And so maybe during this time you're overwhelmed with just everything that's got to be done. There's a lot of preparation. Everybody likes to enjoy it, but we get so caught up in the decorations and the getting the presents, we forget about looking for the arrival of the Savior. Let's really dedicate and set ourselves this final week and ask God to move, that you can be like a Simeon, speaking blessing and prophetically and embracing Christ even more during this great time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you for the example of this man, Simeon. And Lord, as we prepare ourselves for next Sunday, for that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Lord, may we take the lessons learned here today from this man, Simeon. Lord, may we be those men and women of faith. May we, Lord, may we have your favor upon us. May the Spirit of God come upon us in power. May He lead us in the path we should go. May we submit our lives to that leading. And Lord, may we speak prophetically, and may we be a blessing to all that we encounter, whether it's standing in line at the store, outside in the cold, wherever we might find ourselves. Lord, we pray that you would use us like Simeon. Father, let your blessing be upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have the prayer team up here if you would like prayer. God bless you, and we will see everyone here next week. Amen. 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 You are dismissed.